Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 6, Text 19. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vidikshustarahambhuya. Kanidaya Manodadi. Vikshyamano panapashyam avitrita evatkuru. I desire to see again and again that transcendental form of the Lord, but despite my attempts to concentrate upon the heart with eagerness to view that form again, I could not see him anymore. And thus dissatisfied, I was very much aggrieved. Purport. There is no mechanical process to see the form of the Lord. It completely depends on the causeless mercy of the Lord. We cannot demand the Lord to be present before our vision, just as we cannot demand the sun to rise whenever we like. Someone who just got on has to mute the phone. If I could hear you. The sun rises out of his own accord, so also the Lord is pleased to be present out of his causeless mercy. One should simply await the opportune moment and go on discharging his prescribed duty in devotional service of the Lord. Narada Muni thought that the Lord could be seen again by the same mechanical process which was successful in the first attempt. But in spite of his utmost endeavor, he could not make the second attempt successful. The Lord is completely independent of all obligation. He can simply be bound up by the tie of unalloyed devotion. Nor is he visible or perceivable by our material senses. When he pleases, being satisfied with the sincere attempt of devotional service, depending completely on the mercy of the Lord, then he may be seen out of his own accord. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnanam Jana Shalakaya Chaksuram Mrutam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Shayam Rupa Kadamayam Vidati Sapadantikam Adadanas Janam Dante Idam yache puna puna Srimad Rupa Padamboja Dulisham Janma Janmani Vairagya Yug Bhakti Visham Priyatnai Apayam Amanabhip Samandham Kripam Budhiya Paradhuka Dhuki Sanatanastham Prabhamasriyami Pancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Shindhu Baye Vija Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadeva Dhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Greetings from New Jersey. I'm at the home of Gopishore and Kishori Radha. Their son, Narayan, and their three triplet children. Famous Vaishnav triplets, Kishore Keshava and Priya. And it seems when I'm in the West, every other month I hold a program here. And it's a kind of a family-oriented program, I mean, and it's a nice program. It's a very children-friendly place because of the big backyard and the basement, but it's really, you get a nice group of people that come, and the famous feasts. It's really nice. Okay, we're up to this story of Narada and Vyasadeva. One of the main dialogues in the Bhagavatam, and this first canto is really the history of the Bhagavatam, which is the history of basically Vyas, Sukadev, Goswami, and Maharaj Prithit. And this particular story is very relevant because Narada is explaining to Vyas the essence of the Vedas, which is the Bhagavatam. The Vedas is meant to give us knowledge how we can become purified. Of course, I always like that one quote from the ninth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. The pure state of the living entity is to become a devotee. That's the purpose of this world. The purpose of this world is to help us become a devotee, which is a condition of heart. It's the change. It's the pure ego, the living entity, which is, I am the servant of Krishna, and it's the ratification, liberation from the false conception of the self, the false ego, the ahankara. I am the controller. I am the doer. The process of spiritual life is giving up that conception and coming to the pure conception. The Bhagavatam itself defines, one of the main subjects is liberation, which is defined as muktir hitva hita rupam sarupena vivastita. Muktir hitva yata rupam. Mukti means to give up yata rupam, the conception that's external to the self, the false ego. Surupena vivastita, and to be situated in one's real sarup, or one's real identity as a servant of Krishna. Narada is impressing on Vyas that the best process to do that is to associate with sadhus, so one's awareness would be turned towards Krishna. And the sadhu is constantly, because his awareness is completely focused on God, he's constantly talking about God. And by adopting that process, one's awareness also gets turned towards God. So basically in this particular story, I've kind of divided it up into the sections. The first section is how Narada becomes introduced to Krishna consciousness and how he develops his Krishna consciousness. And specifically, as I mentioned, this is sadhu sangha, the association of devotees. And in the association of devotees, you hear Krishna katha and you learn the process of spiritual awakening, which is to chant here about Krishna. So we saw that in Narada's, and it ended with him getting the mercy of the Bhaktivedantas by hearing Bhagavatam. Hearing, and this is the process, nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya. Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu. Abhadra means that which is inauspicious. Anartha, that which is valueless to your spiritual life. Nashta prayeshu, it's destroyed. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Nityam by serving, Nitya means regular. It means every day. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, by serving the Bhagavata. And Prabhupada explains, what is the Bhagavata? This is the essence of the Bhagavata, and this is what Narada's life is about. And this is what our life should be about. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, by serving the Bhagavata. And that means, as Prabhupada said, the book Bhagavata and the person Bhagavata. The book Bhagavata is about the person Bhagavata, and the person Bhagavata only speaks about the book Bhagavata. This is the process. And it's such a powerful spiritual process to absorb the consciousness. And Prabhupada makes the apt point many, many times that the most absorbing element is sound. And therefore, the process that's most absorbing to the consciousness is hearing, transcendental sound. Hearing transcendental sound. It makes the impression on the consciousness for Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. You're associating with Krishna, and the love and affection for Krishna comes out of the heart by this process. Hearing about Krishna and hearing about how we should hear about Krishna. So this is what happened to Narada. And then I would say the maybe we'll call it the second section. Vyas, he's learning from Narada, and it's a symptom of a devotee and a practice of Krishna consciousness is to sadharma pritchit, to always inquire about the truth. You want to know more and more. He asked all these questions. Well, one of the questions was, is what does Narada do? What does Narada do? And then we kind of get this vision of how God relates to the devotee through destiny. In other words, what happens to one is God bringing one closer to him. And what happens to us is very much dependent on who we are, because each man has a different path. To come closer to God, Krishna may put some nice things in one's environment. To bring us closer to God, someone just either came on or got close to the phone and I could hear them. It takes a lot of concentration to give this class because I don't have an audience. So I have to think very, very subtly. So I require that people either mute the phone or are very, very careful when they're close to the phone. So we see that God responds, and whatever happens in one's destiny is to bring one closer. And there's no one set formula what will happen, because we're all individual people with individual psyches and attachments and misconceptions based on our experience since time immemorial in this world. Therefore, we can't really understand why is this happening to a particular person, etc. Beyond the fact that it's God who knows us and is bringing us closer. And in Narada's particular example, he had such a depth by his sincerity of internal spiritual desire, and such a level of purity and renunciation that practically any social situation was a constraint on his spiritual life. And therefore, Krishna took everything away from him. to further his spiritual practice. And one thing I'm learning from the Bhagavatam, and I spoke a little bit about this in the Bhakti Sandarbha, that, you know, spiritual life means the intensity of spiritual desire. And God is always working on that for us. So even at the point of liberation, we become detached from the body. It doesn't mean yet that you have full love for Krishna. And therefore we see, this is a very, very interesting point. There was a discussion I'm in right now about does bhakti or devotional service, to what extent does it take away our karma? Now, there's different types of karma. You can divide it in many ways, but one way you can divide it into three. There's karma or things that are going to happen to us that are not yet manifest. Like right within us right now, and I'll do it the good way rather than the bad way, rather than saying what within us is like cancer or some disease that's coming or whatever. Within us right now is a lottery ring. Just waiting to happen. Anyway, whatever it is, if there's things that it's just a store, and it's there. There's certain things that are going to happen to it. It's already determined. And then, right, so this karma that's already determined, this karma that we're creating right now by our actions, and then this karma that's already manifest. Like, you know, one is beautiful, one is ugly, one is whatever it is. Or one is a certain level of analytical ability or less than a bit, you know. There's certain things that are already set in us. So when one becomes a yogi or a devotee, for sure, when one becomes fixed, really fixed and straight, when there's a certain level of spiritual practice and spiritual, you know, that one can, finish the store of karma that's waiting. And obviously at that particular point you're not going to create any more karma. So the two are there. Now, the karma that's already waiting, which means the body in this life, you know, of course, you're under the jurisdiction of Krishna, so anything's possible. But it's also understood that for that liberation is not yet prema, and therefore the devotee, even if he reaches a liberated stage, may stay within the body to practice Krishna consciousness to intensify the desire further. And that means karma, because the body moves by karma. What happens to the body is according to the stock of karma that one has gotten through this life. That's how the body progresses. It stays there. Anyway, the point I'm mentioning is, let me see if I can get back to this. I got a little bit lost. I was talking about the intensity of desire. So God is working on us for that way, and he arranges the circumstance. Anyway, for Narada, all of his external social constraints were removed, which is a tragedy. A tragedy. It's your family. It's your loved ones. It's your wealth. It's your house. You can say, hey, why doesn't God do that to me, remove everything? We'd be crushed. And it is happening to us, and we're screaming all the time. But Narada, you know, he was so spiritually advanced, he saw it as an opportunity. And it wasn't the end. To strengthen his Krishna consciousness. And therefore, he began to travel without any protection, without any. He had no as Prabhupada said, material protective agents at all. For us, this would be a tragedy. He had nothing. No health insurance, no house, no bank account, nothing. Family, friends, nothing. He had nothing. And he wandered, and what he experienced is that God is the maintainer and protector. God was always the maintainer and protector. But God made an arrangement where he wasn't doing it through an intermediary, so he could see God directly, and he could depend on God directly. And that develops, that because when you feel protection and nourishing, you develop love. So Narada's desire intensified by that, his fearlessness intensified by that. So therefore, there was a lot of our distraction in the world is our fear. What will happen to us? Oh, I'm so worried. What if I lose this? What if this happens? What if this is taken away? What if, you know? A lot of distraction is based on our fear. So God made him fearless. Okay, sometimes I hear people breathing, so again, either mute your phone or just be a little bit careful. Just put the earpiece on and not the mouthpiece. So he made him completely fearless, and he went, and then what happened to him is he, by this, became very, very qualified to meditate. There's a verse in Bhagavad Gita that says, Yesham Tvantikatam Papam Jananam Punya Karmanam Te Dvandva Mohanyam Mukta Bhajanti Mam Jirhabhata. When can you do bhajan Jirhabhataha with vow and determination? Well, you have to be free from sinful reactions, basically. Yesham Tvantikatam Papam. So when you become purified, and that happens how? By toleration. The karma comes. The desires come. The impulses come. We don't act on them, but we stay fixed in determination. That's the definition of tapasya. Despite the irrational impulses of the mind and senses, we keep fixed in devotional service. The life like that, the dirt comes out, and eventually you expire the karma. You become pure. You become fixed. So he had this qualification. So he was able to meditate. So and how? By service. Service. You're dedicated to service rather than your mind. By this dedication to service and the reciprocation of Krishna within your heart for that service. Trinvata swakata Krishna punya shravana kirtana hijantasto yabhajane vidinoti sritsitam. Srinvata Swakata Krishna, by chanting and hearing about Krishna, Srinvata Swakata Punya Shravana Kirtana, by this chanting and hearing, Punya, you become pure. It can't bestow your Bhadrani, Vidinoti, your Bhadrani. It's auspicious. Vidinoti, and your heart becomes pure. Why? Surit Sutam. God is reciprocating. Surit Sutam. To his devotee, he's surit. He's heart, su, very good, close in heart. He reciprocates, he purifies the heart. Therefore, Prabhupada writes about this. He said, this consciousness is firmly developed by a devotee who has rendered loving service unto the Lord by carrying out the orders of the spiritual master. Sri Naradaji contacted bona fide spiritual masters, served them sincerely, and got enlightened rightly. Thus he began to meditate. And what is meditating? Meditating means focusing on God. That's the process of developing the spiritual consciousness. Thus we do it by chanting and hearing. And then by this process, I'm kind of getting up to where we are today. And then by this consciousness, he symptoms of bhava became, and there was transformation. Bhava means that hard heart becomes like butter. It begins to melt in relationship to what? To God. There's emotions, and the heart melts. There's crying, there's tears. So one's heart is now easily moved. And we see that. And then Narada, when the bhava thickens, it starts to come towards praying. I gave that example the last week, that the sunlight and the sun rays and the sun, the same substance. One is, and it has the same effect of heat and light, but one is lax, one is dense. Prema, when it's dense, it's so thick, there's nothing there, it's very intense. And when that happens, that the desire for service becomes so intense, that's actually described there, that the desire for scent, that it describes that each sense becomes fully awakened to render service unto the Lord. They all become fully efficient. The whole set, the full set. How do you go? Okay. All the senses become so fully enlivened. To Krishna, and it intense happiness, intense ecstasy, and Narada got a glimpse of this. Every part of the body became separately enlivened and overpowered by happiness. There's udipan means like you light it, like a strike a match, you light a fire. Well, udipan in Rasa Shastra means you light the fire of your happiness and devotion. And it's stimulated by Krishna. So the senses become enlivened. You begin to, all the senses become enlivened with Krishna. You see Krishna, you hear Krishna, you spend very intense. And then he saw the form of the Lord. And Prabhupada makes this point. It's very interesting. We are searching for the form that will satisfy our senses. Life after life. But two things happen with every form we encounter. There's still difficulties existing in the consciousness, and we're still not satisfied. You can see if someone's... I think you press number 6, and the phone can be muted. If you can't do that in your phone, then what you do is you just... cover the mic or something. So what happens is when you see the form of the Lord, then all difficulties enter the consciousness. In the consciousness, there are no more difficulties. Because our difficulties are the lackings that we have. And we only mistake that need that we have for material things. But it's not actually material, our need, our ultimate need. The ultimate need is spiritual. It's to fill the heart with love. And when one sees the form of the Lord, and has that sakshat darshan, he actually sees the form of Krishna. The full satisfaction. We have that experience to some extent when we are fortunate to sit for some time in purification in a kirtan, a real good kirtan, by someone who's chanting the name with some semblance of purity. And after a while, the consciousness becomes satisfied. And the difficulties become reduced. We find that, even that, because most of our difficulties are just mental. So this happened to him, and now we're kind of up to today's verse, which it's kind of the pattern I follow. Like half the class is just the review, and then what happened is he lost that form. So this was like the greatest tragedy, because that which finally satisfied him, he kind of lost. That reminds me of a twilight zone. There are two twilight zones that were the most memorable. One was about this operating table. I feel the audience needs a little entertainment today. One was about this operating table. And this whole thing, they're operating on this girl, this lady, and you never see anybody's faces. You just see the discussions, just the back of everything. And the whole thing with the whole thing was is that this girl, you know, she was so ugly her whole life that they were trying to perform this operation to make her beautiful. And, you know, at the end of the whole show in this Twilight Zone, you know, it's this whole drama about this operation, you know. They're going to pull off the mask and see if the operation was successful, right? They pull off this mask and there's this absolutely like beautiful angelic girl, and you hear the doctors say, "Oh no, we failed again." And then you look at the pic. Then they show it to the doctors, and they all have grotesque faces. So it was the idea. It's not true, though, the philosophical that, you know, beauty is relative. So that was like a real, you know, that was a real Rod Serling shocker, you know, a beautiful girl. Like, oh my God, we failed. You don't know what. And then the cameras finally show all the doctors and nurses with these grotesque faces. And the other one was about this nerd. Was a bank clerk, and all he wanted to do all his life was read. He just wanted to read books, and he had the greatest desire to read books. But he would work all day in the bank, and when he'd get home, he had a nagging wife, and he had work around the house, and he never get to read. And one day, he went in the vault, and it locked behind him, and he was locked in the vault. And then there was a nuclear war. And then when he opened the door opened. And when he looked around, it was just a whole world of rubble. And then he saw the public library. It was just stones, like a war hit. And he saw all these books, and he said, "Books, books, books, yes, books. What I wanted my whole life." And he was picking them up. And then he tripped and his glasses broke. So that's what happened to Narada here. And that's what we're looking for, some form that will satisfy us. And he finally sees God, and it's just so satisfying. And each sense. And this is what we aspire for, actually. This is what the spiritual world is. Spiritual world is the heart's completely satisfied, and it's constantly being stimulated. The senses are constantly being stimulated by the object of one's love. That's not sense gratification, because the senses are stimulated not to enjoy but to serve. The spiritual world, they are senses, and they're sensory stimulation. They're the most beautiful and intense sensory stimulation, but it's all in relationship to Krishna. Narada had that. Every sense was overpowered. I don't want to embarrass Mother Indrani, but I remember when I took her to Govardhan, because she's a little old, she can't walk. I remember we took her to Govardhan. It was like on a bus. We got out, and she was before Govardhan, and she was crying, and she was saying, "My Lord, my Lord, my Lord." Seeing Govardhan. She didn't know if she would see Govardhan, because she got to Vrindavan, but everyone's gone on Prikram, but she's an old lady. She couldn't walk. When I took her by bus, and she finally got to see Govardhan, "Oh, my Lord, my Lord." The Narada was so wonderful and stimulated. There's fragrance of Krishna. There's the sight of Krishna, the beauty of Krishna, his sonorous voice. Complete satisfaction in heart. And then he loses sight and is shocked. And therefore he tries, and by the same process, to see him, and he could not see him. And then that last sentence, because it's not a mechanical process, but it's a process with consciousness. And the practice is an expression of consciousness. And when the practice is an expression of consciousness, it's the practice that will attract the Lord's mercy. But if somehow or other the practice gets disassociated from the consciousness, it doesn't have the same effect. Therefore, when chanting, it's very important to be conscious of the consciousness and do things and think things and even read things and even look at things that inspire the consciousness. That's why it's sometimes nice to chant before forms of the deity which you are attracted to stimulate the consciousness. It's not a mechanical process, but it's not, and because the Supreme Lord is independent, but we can attract him, we can attract his mercy if our consciousness is an expression of humility. Our practice is an expression of humility. Our practice is an expression of need. Then, by that practice, certainly will attract the Lord's mercy. But he's independent. Can't be forced. So Prabhupada resolves that in that last sentence, and I read that many times last night. Because we don't want to say that, well, then if it's just mercy, then okay, just sit down and lay in your bed and just wait for it to fall from the sky. Why wake up in the morning? Why get up and chant? Because you can attract the Lord's mercy. He's independent. When he pleases, being satisfied with the sincere attempt of devotional service, depending completely on the mercy of the Lord, then he may be seen of his own accord. Okay, now we'll read a few verses today. We have a few minutes. Evam yatantam vijane mamaba gochara giram tambhira shlakshnaya vacha hucha pasmayam iva. Seeing my attempts in that lonely place, the personality of God who is transcendental to all mundane description, spoke to me with gravity and pleasing words just to mitigate my grief. So it wasn't the practice, but still the Lord saw him practicing. He saw him in that lonely place. He saw Narada, you know, sitting on a chaise lounge with a beer, you know, watching television. I don't know if he would have spoke to him. So he did do something to attract the Lord's mercy. I mean, that's there. But it wasn't just a practice. It's, again, the sincere attempt, depending on completely on the mercy of the Lord, chanting with humility. To seeing my attempts, the person spoke to me with gravity. I'll just read the purport here. In the Vedas, it is said that God is beyond the approach of mundane words and intelligence, and yet by his causeless mercy, one can have suitable senses to hear him or to speak to him. This is the Lord's inconceivable energy. One upon whom his mercy is bestowed can hear him. The Lord was very much pleased with Narada, and therefore the necessary strength was invested in him so that he can hear the Lord. It is not, however, possible for others to perceive directly the touch of the Lord during the probationary stage of regulated devotional service. It was a special gift for Narada. The Prabhupada still describes him in the probationary stage, so this is very rare. When he heard the pleasing words of the Lord, the feelings of separation to some get mitigated. So the Lord's a person who wants to reciprocate. So here's this person who's feeling love for him in deep separation, and he tries to mitigate it. A devotee in love with God always feels the pangs of separation and is therefore always enwrapped in transcendental ecstasy. So this is a very key verse we can study the next one today. Antasmin jamini bhavan namam drashtu maharati abhipakva kushayanam yudashoham kuyoginam. O Narada, the Lord spoke, I regret that during this lifetime you will not be able to see me anymore. Those who are incomplete in service and were not completely free from all material taints cannot hear me. So he said, avipakva, immature. So Krishna is looking at the devotion, and he wants to taste our devotion. But he's a rasika, he's connoisseur. And therefore, the fruit of our devotion has to be ripe. And therefore, there's a process to make things ripe. You don't pick it yet. Let it hang on the tree, and that's what's happening to us in the material world. Our devotion is not ripe, and it ripens by the practice in this world. So Krishna doesn't pluck us from this world until we have suitable taste in our devotion. And that means the devotion must be intense, fully mature. So it's a very interesting thing with Narada here that he was advanced, but he wasn't mature. First in spiritual life, you've got to develop the platform of transcendence. And the platform of transcendence is called goodness. Goodness is very important for spiritual life. A devotee also tries to cultivate goodness, by the way, and that's why the 14th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says it's the most important knowledge. You want to transcend, you're going to have to go through goodness. Brahma, Bhuta, Pasanatma, Nasochati, Nakanchati, Samasadeshu, Bhuteshu, Madhve, Bhakti, Labhati, Parim, Labhati, Bhakti. You attain bhakti at this stage. What is it? Brahma Bhuta, Pasanatma. Pasanatma, the happy stage. The Sochatinaka, you're not hankering, you're not lamenting. No ignorance, no passion. Some are salvation, but you're equal to everyone, equal poise. It's so important, really, in our spiritual lives. That's why there's a Prabhupada, stress the brahminical culture. How to live cleanly and regulated, and the association we take. It's very, very powerful in the 14th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. It describes that three modes are competing within you. And what the modes are, the modes are our desires. There's three basic desires. There's desire for ignorance, you enjoy by inactivity. And that comes into intoxication and sinful activity. It's like that. By intoxication, sleep, You can feel it. One time you want to enjoy, let me just sleep. Let me just not do anything. And then there's passion, intense fruitive endeavor, sex desire. And then there's goodness, enjoying peacefulness and enlightenment. So they're competing with us, and even by our karma and by our environment, different of the modes become nourished, and therefore different impulses are pushing us. And it's classic yoga system. And if one wants to come to the stage of meditation, he has to become free from five things: loya, sleep, desire for sleep, kshepa, the desire for distraction. At least four things: kshaya, that's it's the mundane desires in the heart, and rasavad, the taste we have in this world. Anyway, we have to come to goodness, and therefore, in this competition, we try to associate with goodness, and everything is in the modes. What does that mean? It means the shapes of the world are impetuses for different desires. You can make your environment to inspire passion. You can make your environment to inspire ignorance. You can make your environment to inspire passion. The devotee tries to make his environment to inspire goodness. And the Bhagavad Gita lists the different types of environment. Well, one environment is the time of day. So the devotee tries to wake up early, because the early morning, especially Brahma Muhurta, is surcharged with goodness. It'll be easier to meditate. The place that you live, the country, is more in goodness. Of course, we live in the city, so we can, make the inner environment more in goodness. And the food we eat, this is really important. Really, if you want to meditate, you have to be very careful what you eat. And there's a whole thing about that, but you have to really be careful what you eat. Krishna prasadam, cooked in the proper way by the proper people. And different foods themselves. And you have to be very careful about the people you're with. Of course, it doesn't mean you shut yourself off, but it talks about the intimacy of association. Anyway, Narada was pure or liberated in many ways. He was at that platform of goodness. And therefore, that example that's given of the spark that comes from the fire, if it falls on the wet grass, it extinguishes. If the grass is just regular grass, it may extinguish, alight. But if it comes on dry grass, it's the fire quality that comes. So same thing with our consciousness. The original consciousness can be sparked from goodness. But here, with what he says, that you had a material taint, and the taint was he was still attached to that goodness. It means that he was attached to the Himalayas, the quietness, the environment. He was attached. He was attached to goodness. And attachment means actually not goodness. It means material taint. That's passion. And the pure state is the attachment to service, not any external environment. Although out of attachment to service, we can try to create our environment to inspire that service, but we're not attached to the environment particularly. He was still the lonely place, the meditation, the peacefulness. So that was his contamination. And then it's very interesting, Prabhupada said in his present life, which is completely freed from all material hankies, pure, Nara does not go into the forest, although he can turn every place into Vaikuntha by his presence only. He's not going. Now he's incomplete in service. In other words, the desire for service wasn't intense enough yet. It had to increase. And we discussed that on Wednesday with the story of Ajamil. That Ajamil chanted the name without offense at the time of death. But still, and therefore, that offenseless chanting attracted Krishna. Even though the affection wasn't for Krishna, the affection was for his son. So still, though, it wasn't, so Krishna made an arrangement to practice more and do kirtan to increase that desire. And we described that it's a fact, Bhagavatam says, you go to Krishna's abode if you chant the time of death. But it doesn't mean you go to Krishna's abode that you can become his intimate associate either. And that the example is the gopis that come from this world into the rasa dance, where the Tej Baba, but not yet framed, when Krishna blows, they don't yet get the association directly of Krishna until their desire is intensified more. How? By separation. When Krishna blows the flute, their husbands prevent them from going. And the separation increases the desire, Krishna, 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 and burns off the last bits of impurity. So Krishna is intensifying the desire. He's intensifying the desire for him by our destiny. We are intensifying the desire for him by the process of chanting and hearing. And here Krishna is further intensifying his desire. And this is how Krishna deals with it. Now you see it, now you don't. Krishna gives him the form. And Krishna, 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 takes it away. Oh, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Krishna is giving us. Krishna is taking away. He's putting us into the association of devotees, taking us out of the association of devotees to increase that desire. And we just see in our own life, if we look frankly, how much help we need to increase our desire for Krishna. This whole show is happening that way for us. But ultimately, if we're intelligent, we will take sadhu sangha and chant and hear about Krishna as much as we can to cultivate that desire in the heart for chanting and hearing. And it's said in the Bhagavatam, and to work for Krishna, because then we'll want to chant and hear about Krishna, because we'll develop attachment to him. Last sentence Prabhupada says is very significant. I marked that down in my book with many. It says, a pure devotee of the Lord, therefore, follows in the footsteps of great devotees like Narada and Prahlad and engages his whole time in glorifying the Lord by the process of kirtan. Such a preaching process is transcendental to all material authority. So how did Narada then, he was incomplete in service, how did he increase his service? He increased his service. He increased his service by serving. By performing devotional service, his service increased. Now, I'm going to finish the class off today with the next purport because it discusses this point. So I'll read something in it. The more a person is engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, the more he acquires a hankering for it. This is the transcendental nature of godly service. Material service has satiation, where spiritual service of the Lord has neither satiation nor end. One can go on increasing his hankerings for the loving service, transcendental service of the Lord, and yet he will not find satiation or end. By intense service of the Lord, one can experience the presence of the Lord transcendentally. Therefore, seeing the Lord means being engaged in his service, because his service and his person are identical. So he lost the Lord in terms of his form. And then to increase that hankering, he rendered transcendental service, especially preaching Krishna consciousness. It's so absorbing to share Krishna consciousness with others. it's so absorbing. It's done in the proper way, in the proper mood. It's for someone who still has passion and still has ignorance. So intense, the absorption, and it increases that desire for service. So Prabhupada said, therefore the Lord, the sincere devotee should go on with sincere service of the Lord. The Lord will give proper direction as to how and where it has to be done. There was no material, so significant, this last sentence. There was no material desire in Narada. And yet, just to increase his intense desire for the Lord, he was so advised. In other words, he liberated, but not praying. And therefore, to get praying, Narada was liberated from the mode. To get praying. He traveled around the world, chanting and hearing the Lord, because that's really the such a good way to absorb the consciousness. So now, and we'll discuss this in the next class, the next question, because of course these were Vyasadeva's questions. Well, what happened to him? So now we saw what happened to him after he got that, understood the Bhagavatam, took initiation. We saw what happened to him and how he took advantage of that, and he was so serious, and how the Supreme Lord responds to the devotee, focused on the devotee's heart. How can I increase his desire for devotional service and bring him ultimately to me? But the next question that was asked was, well, how do you remember me? How do you remember your life? How do you remember all this? Because now you're in a different body. And the answer is going to be given, because service to the Lord permanently fixes the intelligence. The things that you do in relationship to the soul can be carried to the next life in many, many ways. So how do we remember? Because of the intensity of service. I mean, that's another point. Are there any questions?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hi, Bill.
Hi, Bill. This is Gail.
Gail, Hare Krishna.
Yeah, you were mentioning, I think there were four kinds of, four kinds of anartas.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember, there was two that sounded the same.
Same, yeah. One was
distraction.
No,
distraction, and the other was...
No, it's loya.
No, not distraction. Yeah, not
no, I'll tell you what they are, and I'll try to explain the difference. One is loya, which is ignorance, right? Like, so you're chanting, right? You want to meditate, but it's like, there's too much... You're ignorant. Ignorance overcomes you, right? It's like you want to sleep. Then vikshepa is passion. You want to chant, but you're like looking for distraction, you know? Your mind can't focus because you... I once saw this. I had some students. They were from Nepal. Right? So it was Nepal. They live in the mountains. And you want to see your neighbor. You kind of like have to walk 3 miles up a mountain or something, you know? And I saw that because they grew up in an environment that was not sensually stimulated. They could sit very, very easily. So that's distraction of passion. Then kashaya, I believe it means dirt. It means all your desires, your material desires. And rasavad means, I believe it means like your fine tastes. You know, all these things bring the consciousness externally from meditation.
I'm in the same position.
Okay, anyway, I'll look it up again. Any other questions?
No.
Okay.
No, thank you.
Thank you, Gail. I think probably Kshaya means... Kshaya. Anyway, I'll think about that more. Any other questions?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances.
Haribo?
This is Nanda Dolal.
Oh, I always know your voice. Haribo.
Maharaj, you know, could you, remove my doubt, In one sense, you mentioned that verse in Bhagavad Gita, Yesham te antagatam papam jananam punnukamanam te danda mahadam mukta bhajante madhyabhada.
Yeah.
But in another sense, in the end of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna told Sarva Dhamma Paritejam Mamamakam Sharanam Bhajam Amtam Sarva Papibha Mukshashmi Mashucha. So, if we don't get rid of sins, then I cannot do the service. But if we surrender, Krishna is taking away the sins. So, I'm a little bit confused, if you can.
Nice question. Well, that verse, Yesham Tvantagatam Papam Jananam Punya Karmanam, that means how can you do fixed bhajan, right? And it's very, very hard to do fixed bhajan, right, when we still have...
So many desires.
When we still have so many desires for... I mean, it's not that we can't do, but to the extent... That's going to be a challenge to the extent of our sinful nature is going to be an extent of that. And sarva dharman prityajam mamekam sharanam vrajam aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami masuchaha. And then Krishna says, give up everything and you surrender to me and I will protect you from all reactions, I guess. Don't worry. That's a good question, Nanda Dulal. That's really good. Let me think about that. That's really a good one. Sarva dharman prityaja mamekam sharanam vrajam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami. I will save you from all sins. The only thing I can think of now is it's kind of like when someone takes initiation, Krishna accepts one as his very self. But it's also, initiation is also a kind of a process of coming to that point. There's even one term, I've forgotten one commentary, the two types of initiation. It means, we get initiated, it's really the chance to be, the real initiation is that full surrender. So I think the full surrender, when you actually come to the full surrender to Krishna, then, all sins are removed. The extent that you surrender to Krishna, then all sins are removed. Completely. That's like, completely. That's what I was talking about. You become free from karma. If you can actually give yourself fully to Krishna. So that verse talks about, if you do that, you're completely free. That's why it's sometimes described that if you hear the Bhagavatam once, Krishna appears in the heart. So why do we continually read it or why, Well, of course, there's a reason. There's two reasons for reading the Bhagavatam, according to two different qualifications. One is to purify the heart. That's one reason for reading the Bhagavatam. And then another person is already purified. It's to relish his relationship with Krishna. So, and the point I'm making is that on one platform, when the Bhagavatam, Krishna immediately appears in the heart. Okay, so Krishna immediately appears in the heart, and the answer is, why doesn't that happen to us immediately at once? Well, that's because we're not surrendered. And therefore, the process for us is to hear again and again and again and again, and then we'll be purified, and then we'll hear Krishna will appear in the heart. And I don't think it's surrendering is just yes or no. It's a gradual process, too, and according to that gradual process, you also become purified. So I would say the first verse, Yesham Pundakatam Papam Jananam Punyakarmanam, indicates indicates that it's just stating a fact. Until you come to that point of full surrender, until you're purified of all those material desires, you won't be able to do bhajan. You won't be able to fully grasp surrender. And then the sarvadhamam prithyaja mamekam sharanam vraja. Well, it means you come under the protection of Krishna. And actually, that also means even if you do have desires, you'll be protected. I think what that also means, you can say sarva papa, you'll be protected from all sins. That may not mean that the sinful desires won't still come, but you'll be protected. You'll be able to do practice in Krishna consciousness. I don't think, maybe when you say sarva dhammam prityaja, mame kam sharanam vraja, aham tvam sarva papa, but mokshayasyami satma sacha, and surrender to Krishna, he will protect you. That doesn't necessarily mean that you won't have, that doesn't necessarily mean you'll be able to sit down and be a sannyasi and do bhajan. Because after that verse, what did Krishna tell Arjuna? He said, you fight. Because he had a particular nature. So what does it mean? It doesn't mean that at that particular point there'll be no more material desires. It means you won't be affected by them anymore. The desires will come, but you won't act on them. You'll continue in devotional service. But does it mean because you've surrendered to Krishna that now you're qualified to go to the forest? Arjuna wasn't. Arjuna wasn't qualified at that time, even though sarvadhammam pratityajamami. You surrendered to me. So Arjuna says, I surrender to you. It doesn't mean renunciation to go to the forest. But the other verse means you'll be qualified to actually go to the forest. Then? Then by surrendering to Krishna, you neglect the irrational impulse of the mind, and then at the end of your life, the senses will become pacified and you'll be free. Because surrendering to Krishna doesn't mean that you become qualified to sannyas. That would be against the whole message of the Bhagavad Gita. But that first verse indicates really the janti mam jadabhikata, your determination. Thank you, Nanda Dulal, for that question.
Thank you.
And after the Panihati festival in mid...
Did you get the book?
My book?
Well,
what happened with my book is the first one came and it wasn't the right quality. So we told them, they said yes, and they said by the end of May, we'll mail you 500 copies, you should receive them, and we'll send 25 by email. So the 25 by email came, but not by email, the 25 by mail. So they actually mailed us, and I got, actually yesterday, Samantha brought from New York, picked it up with Joe Cayley, who designed the book, and I got a copy in. That was my class yesterday. I was reading from the book, and people were enjoying it. I mean, the thing is now with the programs, the children outnumber the adults. Gopi Shore here has 4.
Okay.
Cult of Riksha has 3 with 2 more coming. They're playing outside, so it was okay. And They made another way for them to get out the back. Thank you, Gopi. At the end. But after the Panihati, I'm going to have someone who's going to assist me, so he'll be driving. So all the people I haven't seen, I'm going to come out to your house then.
Okay.
We'll visit you then.
Okay, thank you.
And if you can come to the Panihati, that would be great.
I'm planning to come.
Okay, because it looks like I'm going to have some really, I don't want to say yet, but some really special guests are 90% confirmed. One told me he's reserved the 16th and 17th for the program, and he'll just get back to me when he finalizes his schedule.
Okay.
And then another one was told to me that someone is sending him a ticket. I will reveal this in time, but...
Okay, thank you, Mother.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna or ask a question? It's so nice. I meet so many people who tell me that they're listening to the Sanghas.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hi, Bo. Who's that?
This is Stella.
Stella, Hare Krishna.
Irene is here with me.
Who?
Irene, my daughter, my youngest.
Oh, Irene. Hare Krishna, Irene. Thank you for coming to the Sangha. Very nice.
You've been listening all morning. It's wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Stella, for listening. That's great. Yeah. It's nice that so many people tell me that they're on the Sangha. Some people don't say Hare Krishna. Not everybody does that, but gradually I'm getting the face of the Sangha. And it's because when I give class, for example, on Sunday here, when I gave class yesterday, I prepare the class, but I don't know exactly what I'm going to speak until I see the audience. I don't see the audience here. When I see the audience, then I could speak. But I'm getting an idea. One last person, say Hare Krishna. Okay, we're all going to end for today. Vanshakalpa, Tarubya, Strakrupa, Sindhu, Bhaye, Vacha, Patitanam, Bhavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo.